Can we start our meeting? Aska? Are we correcting? Do we have any honorable members? Because we are dealing with important day. They're supposed to be here.
Chairperson, we've got 5 members, so we can start with the briefing. We do not have enough for a decision, but we're not taking a decision as yet, so we can start.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody in this meeting. Let me start with the Honorable Minister. For you to be in the meeting, we really appreciate. It is an honor for us as a select committee to have you in the meeting. And then, honorable members, you are welcome to this meeting. The department led by Minister, you are welcome. I think today, the topic of today is very important. It's gonna change the life of our people there in our rural communities. Then I hope when you deal, you do a presentation, Honorable DG, you'll focus on our provinces, and from time to time you will mention our provinces as we are representing the our provinces. All of us will be happy to hear that. And then you must explain how this important bill will assist our communities. By so saying, you are welcome. We can start with our meeting. Aska, the agenda of today.
Today's agenda, Chairperson, is the briefing by the Department on the Upstream Petroleum Bill, the discussion of the committee's revised fourth-term program and adoption of the minutes. That's everything, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Anyone who moved the agenda, the adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson,
I move. Honorable Mama. Thank you, Mama. Any seconder?
BP seconds, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mama. The agenda has been adopted. Now, I'm not going to waste any time. Let me give this opportunity to the Minister to give us a political overview. And from the Minister, he can give a DG to present or whoever who's going to brief us. Minister?
Honorable Chairperson of the Select Committee, honorable members, I'm here with a big team. Because it is a very, very important bill that we are bringing here. Let me introduce it and give it to the Deputy Director General Policy and Promotion to take us through the presentation. First of all, it is important to always give the background that the development related under Chapter 6 of the MPR Mineral, development of growth and upstream petroleum industry. The draft bill is meant to strengthen the upstream petroleum provisions and presents value proposition for South Africa. And upstream petroleum development means exploration, production of oil and gas. You must know that when we develop oil and gas, were swimming against the stream, because by and large, there is a belief that time for fossil fuels together with coal is coming to an end. I believe that if we can make a breakthrough in oil and gas, the growth of the economy will be by 5 to 8% GDP annually if we achieve that. The confirmation is the 42% improvement of the GDP of Namibia after they discovered oil. And therefore, we think we should be able to do that. In the presentation, they will show you the evolution of this sector from 1911 to 2021, and then locate the upstream petroleum resource development bill within that process. And they will also give you the process followed in actually developing this bill. And more important is the question of the actual content and provisions of the bill. That is the essence of the presentation. We're quite excited that this process is important for the country. It's a very important bill. I'm going to call on the TTG to lead the presentation on our behalf. We're all here. We'll answer questions. We'll deal with the issues that are raised. Thank you very much. With your permission, Chairperson, may I call on the TTG?
Yes, Honorable Minister.
Is it good?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Honorable. Apologies for that, Honorable Chair. We were trying to mute Minister's device on the other side. I've been introduced. My name is Ntokozo Ncube. I will be taking the honorable members through the bill, and I will skip the slide. Minister has spoken to this slide. Next slide, please. So currently, and I know Minister spoke to this, I just want to talk to that first bullet. Currently, petroleum, the regulation of petroleum resources is currently administered under the MPRDA, which is really a minerals-based regulatory instrument. And in it, in Chapter 6, then there are provisions for the regulation of the upstream petroleum sector. And that chapter designates the Petroleum Agency of South Africa as the regulator. And this has come a long way in terms of history. I will show a slide that talks to that in detail and as to why we then came up with this proposal to establish a standalone piece of legislation for this sector. Next slide, please. Okay. So if we look briefly at history in South Africa about regarding how mining and oil and gas was regulated over time, as far back as pre-1911, we had the Mines and Works Act, which really focused on mining, and it had no provisions at all for oil and gas, for the oil and gas sector. And in 1991, we had the Minerals Act, which defined oil and gas resources as minerals. And again, at that point, there was no dedicated legislation for the oil and gas sector. Fast forward in 2002, we had the MPRDA, and this is where we have provisions for upstream oil and gas in the MPRDA contained in Chapter 6. And really what we then saw when we looked at this and looking at developments around us and the potential that the country has for oil and gas resources was that it is not good for the country to keep having oil and gas being a sector with a huge potential, but it's just an appendage to mining. It has to be given its own standing and have its own separate legislation. And then in 2021, we began a process of developing or drafting the upstream petroleum resources development board. Next slide, please. So just briefly, the process that we followed, obviously we started with the research and benchmarking exercise where we looked at different jurisdictions. We looked at how is oil and gas, particularly upstream, how is it upstream refers really to pre and exploration phase and development. How is it regulated in other well-developed economies? We looked at countries such as Norway, well-developed and known oil and gas countries. We looked at at Nigeria on the African continent. We looked at Congo Brazzaville, for example. And out of that benchmarking exercise, we looked at Canada. We looked at the U.S. It became apparent to us that oil and gas, for it to develop to its full potential, does require dedicated attention with its own regulatory framework. And then we began with the process of drafting and had a round of stakeholder consultations. And in November 2019, then Cabinet approved the draft bill for it to be published. We published the bill. We went through a whole consultation process. Gazette took inputs from different stakeholders, and the bill was finally submitted to Parliament for consultation. Next slide, please. Okay. Now I will quickly run through the objects of the bill, and I think this is the crux really of this bill. Firstly, this bill is drafted in recognition of the internationally accepted right of the state to exercise its sovereignty over its petroleum resources, which is very critical, because when you have a dedicated piece of legislation for a particular sector, the state has to assert its authority and sovereignty and ensure that the people of South Africa who are the beneficiaries are fully protected. So in the bill, we provide that the state will hold these resources in custody on behalf of the entire nation. And that's what the bill clearly provides for. But also another object which is also critical is to substantially and meaningfully expand opportunities for Black people, particularly because Black persons were, as we know, excluded from participating meaningfully in the economic sectors of the country. Next slide, please. So I will quickly also run through the bill clause by clause. Clause 3 of the bill makes provision for custodianship. I've spoken about this. Clause 8 provides for the upgrade and the development of production. Moving on to clause 10. Clause 10, honorable members, you would recall that I did say that currently in chapter 6 of the MPRDA, the MPRDA designates the Petroleum Agency as the regulator to process applications received for oil and gas. So in this bill in clause 10, we make provision, we provide clear functions of the Petroleum Agency of South Africa as it is the agency that receives and processes applications for oil and gas. And I'll just talk in a bit of detail on the critical clauses. Clause 14 makes provision for the duration. And I want to talk a bit about the duration of the different rights that are contained and permits in the bill. So developing an oil field or an oil block takes on average between 9 and 12 years. And it is important for a piece of legislation to provide for that duration so that it is not a deterrent to investors. When investors take investment decisions to put money into an oil block or a project, to develop a project, they must have that regulatory certainty that they will have sufficient time to develop the block. Another factor which becomes critical, especially offshore, that is in the sea, whether a company does seismic surveys, any form of reconnaissance work which is non-invasive or invasive exploration activities, those are seasonal. There are seasons where certain activities cannot be done. So the timing, the procurement of an oil rig, for example, to do drilling has to be aligned with the timing. There are certain activities that can't be done in summer, for example, on the South African water. So providing sufficient time for these permits and allowing for renewals becomes quite critical. I think also, if I may quickly speak to Clause 13 on the previous slide. Clause 13 provides for licensing rounds. Now, licensing rounds, we also, when we did benchmarking, found that a lot of the mature jurisdictions in terms of oil and gas exploration use the oil rounds and licensing rounds and a method. And this really ensures that the country protects the acreage. If we say licensing rounds means basically that minister will invite, will gazette a notice and invite applications. And once the licensing round is closed, it's closed. Those applications or licensing round applications will be adjudicated, processed, and eventually awarded. But you sort of, the state has control over how it releases and how it opens up its acreage and how it controls the activities into the South African acreage going forward. Next slide, please. So I've spoken about the security of tenure, which talks to regulatory certainty. I mean, we have over the past, especially on the mining side of things, had investors raising concerns around security of tenure. So we wanted to make sure with this piece of legislation that we give that security of tenure with an initial term of 30 years and a further terms of 10 years each. And the renewal periods, with the 10-year renewal periods each, sort of would give us as a country space to renegotiate the terms of the right. I'll make these examples. Recently, I'm sure we picked up on the news that De Beers was engaged in quite tense negotiations with the South African, the Botswana government. And Botswana government does that. They license them for a 10-year period. At the end of the 10-year period, they go back to the negotiating table because now it allows the country to have space to negotiate better terms. For example, you could negotiate for an increase in percentage of royalties. You could negotiate for an increase in their contribution towards social and labor plans and a whole lot of other issues, participation by Black persons. So it opens up that room. So we made sure with this bill that we make provision for that. Next slide, please. Clause 15 really is aligned to that point I made about licensing rounds, because it then makes provision for a competitive administrative process, which outlines how those rights would be a process. Minister would have to gazette and ensure that publicly gazette, there's the transparency, inviting applicants, and there will be a clear criteria outlined in the gazette and the time period and what needs to accompany and be attached to the application. So that is also provided for in detail. Next slide, please. Clause 19, quite important, and 20 actually, consultations. I'm sure honorable members, you are aware that we've had challenges with consultation. In some cases, the department has been taken to court, mining companies have been taken to court around the whole and consultation. So we've made sufficient provision with interested and affected parties to ensure that all interested and affected parties, communities in particular, are given an opportunity to have their say, to raise their concerns, but to also engage with companies in terms of what their expectations would be, as companies would be intending to work in areas close to where they live. And we've also provided for the assessment. Their application gets accepted. They get given a time frame to submit an environmental authorization application. Should there be objections on that environmental authorization, the Petroleum Agency of South Africa would have to then refer those objections to the PDEC for adjudication. And the proposal that we've made in the bill is that this committee comprises of different people from different government departments, water and sanitation, DFSE, DMRE, land, and minister may also appoint specialists in the mining sector to serve on this committee so that there is objectivity. When they look at an objection versus the application that is lodged, they will be able to say, is this objection authentic? Is it justified? Is it worth considering further? And then the committee would then make a recommendation to say, reconsider this, or the objection has no leg to stand on. And I think what is good, maybe I might also want to mention this, what is good about having this is it has assisted a lot previously on the mining side of things, because there have been some instances where objections are received and it goes to a point where the committee even recommends certain scientific studies, for example, to be undertaken. And the applicant would then be instructed to undertake those specialist studies so that there is evidence, science-based evidence, to show that either there is validity on the side of the objection, or there is no validity on the objection is unreasonable. Clause 30 quickly provides for the partitioning of rights. Partitioning of rights, again, standard practice both in mining and oil and gas. And the whole principle is about somebody can apply for upgrade and along the line just to raise capital, for example, they could partition their rights and get investors so that they are able to raise capital to invest more into their project for development. Next slide, please. Clause 31. The crux of this bill, I must say, insofar as transformation and ensuring that there is participation by Black person, and the bill makes provision for at least 10% interest in the petroleum rights by Black persons, and this has to be on commercial terms, so that there is fairness in the transaction. To say if a Black-owned company participates, they know that they are invested by themselves in their 10%, and they put in all the hard work behind the development of the project. And then we make understanding the costs associated with developing oil and gas projects. We've also made provision for Black persons to be able to dilute their shareholding up to no less than 5%. And really, this is purely for purposes of raising capital. We have seen some of the rights that we have issued currently where there is a serious struggle with raising capital, because what we've seen in mining, in millions of rands, it's sort of doubled or tripled in oil and gas terms, especially offshore. It is quite expensive to develop oil and gas projects offshore. Next slide, please. Clause 32, again, it's in support of transformation and ensuring that there is really space created for Black persons to participate in the sector, and we make provision for minister to reserve blocks for Black persons and invite applicants. Again, he would follow the same process where he issues a notice on the Government Gazette inviting applications from Black persons, and those Black persons who would be awarded those rights may dilute to no less than 30%. Clause 33 makes provision for their exit from rights. And I know this touches, we had lengthy discussions when we were consulting stakeholders on this, where we were asked about the once empowered, always empowered principle that has been raised over and over on mining. And this is space where a Black person that holds a right may exit, but we talk about the vesting of the shares and the benefit. And in the regulations, we're going to develop regulations that talk to the details of how we would monitor that and how we allocate empowerment credentials going forward so that we don't have similar challenges that we've had with once empowered, always empowered. Next slide, please. Section 34, this is now benefit to the South African public broadly. Section 34 makes provision for the state petroleum company, state-owned petroleum company, to be responsible for holding the stake or shareholding on behalf of all of us as South Africans, and that is said to be at a minimum of 20%. So when a private company applies for a production right, we will invoke or before Minister issues or grants that right, he will impose or invoke Section 34 to ensure that there is 20% shareholding by the state. And members would have noticed last week, Monday, Tuesday, we did gazette already a bill that establishes this national petroleum company that will hold the 20%. The carrying holder or holders are entitled to recover 50%, 50 to 100% from exploration. What we're saying here, again, we had lengthy discussions with stakeholders around carried interest versus free carry. And we settled with carried interest after consultations, because carried interest means the state, for their 20% at exploration phase, would not have to carry the financial burden. But once the block starts producing, then the empowering partner would then recover between 50 and 100% of the exploration cost going forward into the project. But what it does, what this clause does, is that it protects the state from the risk of losing money, because at exploration stage, it's quite costly, but it's also in recognition of the fact that the state is already bringing the resources up front into this deal. We can move to the next slide, please. I've spoken to Minister inviting open applications, that is the Section 37, and moving on to Section 44. Section 44 provides for exceptions under which minister may grant a petroleum right. So ordinarily, there would be clauses in the bill that outline a process for a company to apply for either an exploration or production right, and then there would be exceptions. For example, for security of supply, minister may make an exception and decide that he would make an allocation to a state-owned company, for example, petroleum company, really in pursuit of security of energy supply for the country. Then Section 52 talks about, makes provision prohibitions where no one would be allowed, for example, to undertake drilling without a license. And this, we had to build it in because we've learned the hard way on mining, and we are currently correcting that through the General Laws Amendment Bill to ensure that we criminalize or we are specific about certain prohibitions in the bill to avoid us having similar challenges into the future. We can move to the next slide, please. So clause 58, I spoke about the tenure, security of tenure, and how that would be administered and the renewal period. So section 58 provides that a right holder may not progress to the production phase without the approval of the petroleum agency. And this really is to ensure that minister has the satisfaction or is satisfied they submitted sufficient evidence that they have done, they complied with the terms and conditions of the exploration right, and they've met every single term and condition that is attached to the right, and then be granted permission to then proceed to the production phase. Again, it is just about administrative processes of the licenses. The 120 days really talks to us being firm on having quicker turnaround time in the licensing processes going forward. Let's move. We can move to the next slide because clause 62 continues from 58, and 63 provides for the exception under which the petroleum agency may grant approval to progress. Again, for in the main, it's for security of supply, where we could look at what is our situation currently in the country. Are we running short of resources? This project is at an advanced stage. It can move quicker into production, and then those considerations may be made, and then approvals granted for that right holder to proceed and progress with the development. You may proceed to the next slide. These really are 77. Again, it's administrative processes, and ensuring that a petroleum right holder must not overstep their boundaries. And it further states that on recovery of petroleum and petroleum operations must be carried out at development stage where petroleum accumulation extends beyond the boundaries of the petroleum area or the petroleum right, at least one holder has made a declaration of a commercial discovery. So this talks to an acreage would be demarcated and would have on a map clearly marked out coordinates. And when they do the technical work and they find that it goes beyond their boundaries, and only to find that on the next boundary or the next block is a separate company, minister is empowered in the bill to ensure that the two right holders work together to ensure that there is maximum exploration and exploitation of those resources, because it might not work if they work separately, or it might not give us the maximum benefits if they work separately. But also technically speaking, because geology knows no boundary, we might have boundaries on the surface, but beneath the soil, there are no boundaries. So it might make sense where they have to work together and develop that acreage as a single operation, because geologically, you'd find that they sit on the same petroleum system. And we're expecting that we're going to have some of those, particularly on the boundary between South Africa and Namibia, because it is really one petroleum system. That is spoken about, that's covered under Section 78, because we are on the same continental shelf, and the wood. Okay, I don't know whether it's my machine that's frozen. Can I, Honorable Chair, proceed on my hard copy? And then I'm at the end of the... Okay, the slides... Yeah, the slides are not moving still. Okay, so...
You can continue with your...
Finally. Section 79 makes provisions for submission of information and data by the holder of permits So this really is to ensure that the Petroleum Agency, just like the Council for Geoscience, is a repository for exploration data on oil and gas. And as the state, we need to have that data and keep it safe. They keep non-physical as well as physical in the form of cores. So when companies drill, they are obliged by law to bring the cores into the library so that we are able to continuously analyze that data and be able to ascertain with certainty where is what in terms of our resources beneath as well. Section 84 makes provision for the issuance of closure certificates, similar principle in mining in the MPRDA, where at the end of the production phase of an operation, the holder of a right has certain obligations to meet in terms of rehabilitation, ensuring that the area is fully rehabilitated on all the risks associated with a production site have been mitigated. Inspections are done to the satisfaction of the state, and then a closure certificate would be issued in that regard. Next slide, please. I think I'll end at the end. Okay, the slides are not moving. Let me move. So Section 87 of the bill provides for financial provision for petroleum operations. Again, it's a similar principle that you make provision for potential environmental risks that might be associated, as well as safety risks that might be associated with the operations. And this financial guarantee would be payable upfront and updated on an annual basis for the duration of the rights to ensure that the state does not sit with huge liabilities at the end of the operation of that particular site. And Section 88 empowers Minister to suspend or cancel a permit. Obviously, when there are gross non-compliance, Minister may suspend that right and impose conditions for remediation measures to be implemented. And once implemented, Minister may then uplift the suspension and cancellation. Cancellation, where they really are severe and gross non-compliance matters that have to do with even the lives of people, Minister is empowered in the bill to cancel such rights. Restrictions and prohibitions also provided for in Section 89. Section 90 talks to optimal production and further provides that the petroleum agency may subject the right holder to corrective measures if they are not producing optimally. And this optimally really refers to what we've seen over time, because we've learned a lot on the mining side where it's some sort of picking and choosing. And that's not exploiting the resource maximally. So that, again, is provided for in the bill and will be monitored for the duration of the right. Section 93 provides for lapsing, and then there's also Schedule 1. Schedule 1 covers the transitional arrangements, particularly to affirm security of tenure. And this really has to do with what do we do when this bill comes into force? What do we do with rights that are currently in existence that were issued under the current MPRDA? There has to be a transitional period, and we're providing for that in that bill for those to transition to the new order that would be provided for in this piece of legislation. And that talks to pending applications that we have received currently or that we are receiving currently, and those that have been issued already in terms of the MPRDA. And lastly, on this last slide, we really are saying that the passing of this bill is really critical. It's a step for the development and growth of the South African oil and gas sector, and we are asking for support in progressing and getting this bill passed into law. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Minister. We'll reach the end.
Chairperson, that is the end of the presentation. That is the bill in front of the select committee. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister DDG Ntokoza, for this good presentation. Honorable members, Here is the bill in front of you. You can ask question or clarity. I'll see by raising of your hand. I can see Honorable Papa and Honorable Roy Jenkinson. Those are only two hands that I recognize. Yeah. You can start, Honorable Papa.
Mamas, greetings to you and colleagues, and also the minister and the entire delegation from the department. Two quick issues. The first one, Chair, is to commend the manner in which they've simplified the presentation.
Recording in progress.
It's really assisting and it will make our life to be much more easier moving forward. Because they've simplified it, and I like how they've used the clauses to clarify everything in the bill so that when we go to the provinces, it will be much more easier. The second issue that I want to raise, Chair, it's the tagging of the bill. Can the DDG or the Minister confirm, is it a 76 or 75, so that we don't have the problem that we experienced in the past in terms of the correct taking. I want a confirmation about the taking. The last issue is an issue that we have to seriously make sure that we attend to it, Chair, because we knew as early as then when we were preparing the program of this week that we'll have this presentation about this very important bill, because it's going to address the challenges of those that were historically disadvantaged in the past, and it will address some of the limitations in an MPRDA. So for that, we commend the minister and the department. I want to raise the issue that moving forward, because already we have lined up the provinces to be ready, we have confirmed dates in some of these provinces, a clear plan availing the relevant officials from the department so that as a permanent delegate in the NCOP, once we go to the provinces, we'll have the right people so that we make this very important bill to see the light at the end of the day without compromising the entire process. Otherwise, to me, it was very clear except those two, three issues that I've raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Papa. Honorable Johnson, Jankison.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I won't ask you to pronounce that. It's difficult for most people. Chairperson, three quick questions. The first one is the 50 to 100% of recovery of exploration costs by companies who are involved with this to recover the 20% that is owned by the state. How is this decided? Because between 50 and 100%, especially when it comes to petroleum exploration, is a huge amount. Who would decide whether it's 50%, whether it's 100%, and how is that decided? My second question is regarding the licensing applications. We just heard about an adjudication process. Who are these individuals going to be that adjudicate, and who appoints these individuals? Is it going to be the minister? Is it going to be by means of a gazette? Because with legislation like this, the problem is that we have too much in the gazette and too little in the bill, and it gives the minister too much authority over aspects relating to things that an industry that brings in a large amount of money, and it also opens it up then to corruption. Chair, and then my third question is regarding the shares to black people. Again, who decides who those shareholders are going to be? Is it the company itself, or is it going to be the minister who says, these shareholders are acceptable to me and the others aren't? because we see now this has been abused in the past. Can, for example, a company say, I'm going to take that percentage, that 10% share, and I'm going to create a trust for my employees, my workers who are black, and I'm going to put the shares in a trust for them. Is that possible, or is it going to be another elite beneficiation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Johnson. Honorable Nana. Honorable Marindi Nana. Mlindi Nana.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. You know, when you battled to pronounce Roy's surname, it reminded me of Minister Tsele protesting that he is not Tsele but Tsele, otherwise he would leave the meeting. So I thought to myself, you know what, these things do happen. Honorable Chairperson, good morning to you and good morning to everyone. By and large, I really have been covered by the previous speaker, but and I suppose it's not surprising. But I just wanted to ask two questions, and I will really reserve most of my contributions to engagements when we deal with clause by clause in the committee. The first question I have, the DDG in her presentation mentioned the risk of investor deterrence, meaning pushing away investors. Now my question is, during your consultation process, have you consulted with leaders in the industry and would-be investors? Did they give you an indication of what could be a deterrent? And if your answer is yes, what are those deterrents that investors raised? And lastly, what have you done so as to mitigate such a risk? That's the first question, Chairperson. And secondly, It's on the definition of a black person. Well, what really I would want to know. You have black people who are already in the industry. Black people that have made themselves quite good fortune out of mining and related activities. They are multimillionaires. Some of them are billionaires. Will these people, based on the color of their skin, be considered when permits are being issued, despite the fact that they've already done well for themselves? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ndate Malindi Nana. Let me call Honorable Lucy Mapena.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to everyone, Honorable Minister, and everyone who is present. Honorable Chair, let me firstly appreciate the presentation that we have just got. I had two questions, but mostly I've been covered by the previous speakers. Actually, my two questions was going to be, how is our people going to benefit out of this bill? Because we all know that our people are mostly affected by this bill when it comes to the economy. Secondly, my other question was going to be, but it has already been asked, is that is the bill going to be presented in the provinces like other bills are done, and then we have to take it to our people out there? Thank you very much. But and lastly, having seen that this bill it's a little bit complicated, like the other bills, if it's going to come to the provinces, we will really appreciate if there's going to be a people from national who are coming to our people to come and explain, because we cannot really afford to go to our people with the bill and then we don't have answers for them. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Before they can respond, yes, indeed, we are going to go back to our provinces and brief them, but together with the department, because like you said, it's a very difficult bill. We will request the department to come with us the day when we go to brief you in the provinces like we used to do. Thanks, Ma. Honorable Mama, the platform is yours.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, for recognizing me. Let me start by welcoming the presentation of the Department on Mineral Resource and Energy. Honorable Chair, I have the following questions. Chair, I want you to check whether the bill aims to create a conducive environment for the historically disadvantaged people, Africans in particular and Blacks in general. If yes, I want to check how will the bill create such a conducive environment to allow the historically disadvantaged people to play a meaningful role in the economy. The last chairperson, I want to check whether the bill is passed and what impact will it have on the oil and gas companies. I thank you, Chairperson. Ngiyabonga, ngiyabonga. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. Okay, let me recognize the hand of Honorable Prince Mkiva.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much.
Before, can, oh yes, he muted. I wanted him to mute because he's disturbing us in the meeting. Yes.
Thank you.
Mkiva.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also join the honorable members in welcoming the presentation led by the minister as well as the bureaucrats from the department. Mphathiswa kudala sijonge ngamehlo abomvu le bill. And I would like to confirm here to the members that indeed you have gone throughout the country meeting stakeholders, and I can vouch that you went to the kingdoms, particularly in the coastal belt of the country, to make representation and give some details about what is expected. And as I say, we're waiting in anticipation to reach the stage where you are now. I just want to say, Minister, we would love just for you to indeed confirm to us here as public representatives, as well as to the nation at large, that this bill is indeed a progressive one, and it has taken into account the historical circumstances when it comes to other riches and the endowments that we have in the space of minerals, and then coming to this side of the energy resources. there will be no case of a recurrence of the marginalization of the Africans in particular and blacks in general when it comes to the exploitation of this resource. Number two, we know and we acknowledge that this is a space that is predominantly dominated by the so-called oil majors. So in my reading of the bill itself, I take it that it has made provisions that we should not wait up until the production is happening, that we now we will have to come back and employ a charter. Instead, the bill itself makes provision of the meaningful participation and the meaningful contribution of our people, both in the means and the factors of production when it comes to this sector that we are talking about. And this bill has certainly closed ranks. So more than this being a question, Minister, it is just to say, can you give us that assurance that we will not be expected after 10 years, 20 years, to ask for a charter to ensure the participation of the African majority and the blacks in general? Rather, the instrument itself, as it is being presented to us, it has accommodated our people to the extent that they will not just be getting employment, but they will be part and parcel of those that are controlling and managing the means of production, including ownership, so to say, if I may emphasize it like that. Otherwise, as I say, the situation is not. We welcome it and we'll support it. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkiva. Let me give back to the minister and his team. I think Honorable Mkiva was the last person to ask question. Honorable Minister and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
You can now respond.
Thank you very much. I will just talk to issues that I think are not technical, are more political than being technical, and allow the team to deal with the technical issues. This is a Section 76 bill, not 75. That answer is short as that. Let me go to Jungleson. Recovering 100% from the state, who will decide? It's the operator. It's the operator. It's not the minister, it's not anybody else, is the operator who will decide I want to recover 100% or 50% of this when it is operational. But the team will add to that. I don't want to talk about much power given to the minister, because I know many people believe that when you talk of a minister, you talk of Gwede Mantashe. That is not talking to Gwede Mantashe. It talks of a minister. Today and tomorrow and tomorrow. And therefore, it's not a question of powers given to Gwede, who is reckless. It is powers given to a minister as a holder of a portfolio. Somebody says shares to black people was abused in the past. It would be helpful for parliamentarians to give us such cases. You know, shares to blacks have been given. This bill is something very aware of what happened in the past. This bill, without saying so, recognizes once empowered, always empowered. You know, it doesn't say so in so strict word, but it says if you do what happened in Harmony, when shares were given to a person, and once that person got the shares, Harmony was compliant and the share price rocketed and the same person sold the shares and left the industry. That was not abuse. It was a black person who was taking advantage of the opportunity. And this bill says, we're not going to insist on getting another black person to replace him, because the question of black empowerment will have been fulfilled. So once empowered, always empowered is there. But I'm leaving that one. Now, Honorable Nana talks about investor deterrence. And he asks a very strict question, whether we have consulted leaders of the industry and potential investors. I don't know who are potential investors. Potential investors are those people who will invest in the industry once it is in place. But let me read into what he is asking. Honorable Nana basically believes that empowering black people deters white investors. You know, that is a racist mentality that actually doesn't accept reality. You know, there's a man called Dalio. So Dalio talks of
him. End of order, Chaperson.
He says those who
do... End of order, Chaperson. Chaperson, end of order.
Yes.
Nana, please allow the minister to finish. And then after the minister... Please allow the minister to finish. And then after the minister, I'll give you the opportunity to respond.
I am rising on a point of order. You know exactly what rules are saying when a member is rising on a point of order. I am rising on the point of order.
Okay, Honorable Minister, can you allow him to rise on his point of order? Yes,
I'm seated already, Honorable Chairperson.
No, Chairperson, fortunately you were in this meeting.
Yes,
you were in this meeting. It is absolutely, absolutely not untrue what the minister is trying to say. I said, I did not say that. After all, I'm a black person myself. I may be a member of a Democratic of the DA, but I remain black. And the minister knows very well. No. I did not say that. Please don't even try it.
Okay.
I did not say
it. Thank you, Minister. Don't say words that the honourable members didn't say. Please continue, honourable minister. Your apology.
If the meeting was physical, we'd have time with the honourable Nana and talk this out. But now it is virtual. I can't engage. But let's leave that. All I'm saying is that this formulation has been said in respect of the MPRDA. And people think that this thing of black BEE deters investors, it makes it slow. But what is important is that it may be slow, but it is correcting the legacy of the past by opening up space for blacks to participate in the economy. And we'll continue doing so and explain ourselves. And there's a question that says, the blacks that are already in the industry and will they be considered? Black is black, whether you are rich or poor. You will be considered if you apply. What is not going to happen is to wait for people who do not apply, who are not involved, and try and look for them. We will consider people who want to be involved. I can tell you that I've been in the coal fields last week. I discovered a number of young black entrepreneurs who are running coal mines, who are not rich yet, who are on the way of becoming rich and being multimillionaires. And I appreciated that. I always appreciate the fact that we must create black capitalists. And this will happen in this act. And that's what we're going to propagate. And therefore, we'll consider any person who applies to participate in this sector. It is closed at this point in time. It must be open for black participation, and that is what we want. How are our people going to benefit? Who are our people? That is the first question. When you say, how are our people going to benefit? Who are our people? South Africans are our people. South Africans are our people. That's why this bill provides for 20% state benefit and 10% black empowerment. That is talking to our people. When the state benefits, it's not for the sake of the state. That's why even when there is the problem with the fiscals, social grants and other payments to people are not cut. They're continuing because that is the benefit our people get directly from the state. And the state has a duty to do that. I don't know the case of marginalization of African blacks. All I can say on this one, our people, South Africans, black or white, must take initiative and be active and want to be involved in a sector. If you are not in a sector, you don't want to put your skin in the fire. You are not going to be a business person. If you want to be a business person, you want to participate actively in a sector, you will take the initiative. The state is not going to look for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are not created. Entrepreneurs are facilitated, and they show themselves. But let me leave this to the team to give technical answers to the technical question. I must say to Honorable Nana, the intention was not to insult you, but was to just pull out some of the observations I'm making. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Your team can respond on the technical ones.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thank you, Honorable Minister. So we will just comment on two questions that just to supplement. There was also a question by Honorable Jenkinson on who will adjudicate. So the Petroleum Agency of South Africa is the regulator that will be adjudicating these applications. Applications are submitted there. They will be adjudicating to the end. And then the other last question I would like to comment on, which I think just to supplement Minister's answer, was raised by Honorable Nana on the investment deterrence. So when we went out for consultations with stakeholders, the main issue they were raising as a deterrent to investments is security of tenure. That is why we have given a tenure of 30 years for a production right, because that is sufficient enough for somebody to make that investment decision upfront to invest billions of rands into a project, knowing that they have a time as long as 30 years with an option to renew for a further 10 years going forward until the resource is exhausted. So in the main, that is the issue that they were raising. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
No, thank you very much, DDG, for responding, and the minister. I think, Honorable, are you satisfied?
Honorable Chairperson, I return it to. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, I do want to say something again before I give back to the honorable members. Okay. Honorable members, do you have any follow-up question or you are fine? No,
thank
I don't
you,
see any hand. Oh,
thanks,
I don't
Chair.
See any hand.
Thank
you want
Chair.
To say something, Honorable Mama? Yes, Ma.
Yes, Mama. Thanks, Chair, and also, Chair, thanks for the reply from the
department. Chair, on my side, I'm satisfied with the answer that I got from the department. Thanks very much. I don't have a follow-up question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Papa.
Yes, Mamas. Let me also join Mama to thank the department, the minister, but it's only that one issue of making sure, the DDG, making sure that we have all the right people when we go to our provinces, as we'll be starting with the briefing. If they attend to that, we are more than fine and ready to hit the ground running. It's a bill that is long overdue anyway. Thanks.
Thank you, Papa, for raising that an important issue. No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister, and your department. Honorable Dr. Malindi Nana.
I'm sorry, sir. I got kicked out. I tried to raise my hand earlier. No, I just wanted to.
Okay.
I just wanted to accept the minister's comments that he was not intending to insult me anyway. Thank you very much, Kwat.
No, thank you.
Honorable Nana, you know very well that Ukwati is always respecting us when it's coming to the committee. And we also respect you. Anyway, thanks for being very progressive, as we know.
We are interested.
Thanks, Baba.
Okay. Let me, before I close this meeting and before I give to back to the minister, to because he is the one who gave us the political overview. Now we'll give back to him. Honorable Minister, like Honorable Nyambi said, please, department must make sure that we get the relevant people when we go to our provinces to brief our provinces. And please, it must be the sooner the better, because we want that before even Parliament opens next year, February, we want us, we must start January, the committee must start to go to do the public hearing with the provinces. As we said, this is a very, very important bill. So we would love to have the staff from the department, not necessarily you, Mom DDG, Mom Tokoza, but the people that will brief the province, so please avail yourselves. With Minister, you can now, before we allow you to leave the meeting, to come and say two or three words. And I think it is the last meeting of the day with you. If you think someone to give us as a what do you call for Christmas present? I'm just joking. Minister?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We really appreciate the fact that you always come to the NCP when you call on us. When you want us to come physically, we do come physically. And every time we come to the NCP, we come in relevant numbers so that people who must take up the issues are available. We appreciate that we have been here. You listen to us. We'll follow the process. We commit that if you want to get staff from this department will sign that. We're committing on that because it's quite helpful for the processes of the NCOP. That's all. I can express my appreciation. I'm grateful that we've been allowed to come and present ourselves. I'm asked, Papa, leave this thing. I'm not an Amman. I'm here in Kutiland. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Now, you and your team, you can leave the meeting. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself during this festive season. And don't forget to go to do the organizational work. Anna? Aska?
Yes, Chairperson.
Aska?
Yes, Chairperson.
Do you have anything for committee where,
yes,
while the department is leaving?
Okay, yes, Chairperson. We have two more items. One was the discussion of the revised fourth-term program that Ms. Labaskagni wanted to do, but she's not on the platform anymore. And then we've got the adoption of the minutes. That's all, Chair.
Okay. Can you put the previous minutes?
Okay, I'll
in
do
front
it
of us, so that you can adopt them.
There's the minutes, Chair. Those were the people that were present in the meeting. I just need someone to propose and second. The minutes were sent out last week already.
Honorable member, here are the minutes of the previous meeting. I just want to check with you, did you receive these minutes on time and peruse them?
Yes, we did, Chairperson.
Yes, Chair.
Now yes, I call for the proposal of the to move the for the adoption of the minutes. Anyone who wants to move for the adoption of the minutes?
Bibi moved, Chairperson,
Bibi moved
for the adoption of the minutes.
Any second?
Thanks, Chair. When you second the minutes, thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Member. The minute is duly adopted. So it means we don't have any item for this. Let me take this opportunity, Honorable Members, to thank you for availing yourself to attend the so important meeting of today. I hope, Honorable Members, from here, the sooner the better, you will go back to your provinces to brief the provinces about this bill. Like we said, the department must avail themselves to join us in our province. So please talk to your provinces from now and tell them that we want to deal with this bill before the parliament rises. And also let me thank the honorable members from different provinces that were in the meeting. I hope they will go back again to their to portfolio committee and inform them that we are coming to brief them and how much is this important bill. Honorable members, by so saying, this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much. Let's go back to the...
Thank you. Thank you, Mama.
Recording stopped.